Welcome along to another episode of The Score on this Thursday evening, the 7th of November. It is Mark Gallagher with you right through until 8 o'clock. Tonight on The Score, we will preview this weekend's FA Cup final between Derry City and Drogheda United with Keith Cowan, Patrick Michelinie and Mark Connolly. Plus, we'll speak to the man behind City View, Andrew Cassidy. Paddy McDade will look ahead to Finharp's women's under-19 semi-final on Sunday against Galway United, while in our local soccer segment we go to Sea Rovers and Carromina in Inishowen. But first, the League of Ireland season comes to a close this weekend with the FAI Cup final at the Aviva Stadium. Derry City are chasing a second cup in three seasons, while Drogheda, the rank outsiders, haven't lifted the cup since 2005. Earlier this evening, Highland's Oisin Kelly spoke with former Finharps and Drogheda player Keith Cowan to look ahead to Sunday's final.
Keith, a very good evening. How are you doing?
All's good, Oisin. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you're here to look ahead to the FAI Cup final this weekend. But before we do that, before we preview, we're just going to review something here, okay? We're going to recap. Now, way back in the middle of February, we had a season preview where yourself and Declan Boyle joined me on the Score program. And we asked of your predictions. And there were very, very interesting results, to say the least. So listen, before we start chatting, Keith, take a listen to this. This is yourself and Declan Boyle with your league predictions back in February earlier this year.
I think Rovers, just because they know how to win. You know, the squad hasn't changed too much. You look at how they won the league last year. You know, they didn't have a standout goal scorer. The whole squad contributed. They know how to win. Look, they'll be firing all fronts as well, League Cup and Europe. So for me, league, it's going to be Rovers.
And the cup?
Well, the cup can be anybody. It's difficult to pick one there. You know, you would have said last year, you know, you wouldn't have thought maybe it was Pats. But yeah, look, they've got, you know, real quality, pedigree, yeah. So if I go cup, I'm going to go Drogheda.
Drogheda for the cup and Rovers for the league. Listen, Declan, who are you picking for the league?
I keep it quite simple. I think Shamrock Rovers will probably win it with Derry coming in behind them, and I think Derry might go and win the FA Cup. So obviously between them and St Pat's, that's what I'd be looking at, you know. So I'm not sure with Drogheda and Keith's choice there, I have to say. I'm not sure. Were you drinking before you came in here?
Some insider knowledge. You don't know who I know down there, Decky. So having a few conversations.
Well, there you go, Keith. Okay, so both of you said Shamrock Rovers in the league, which didn't happen, but the two of you are bang on with the cup final, the lineup. You went for Drogheda. Obviously, you have a connection to Drogheda. What was the insider information back in February?
I'm afraid I can't share that. I was actually talking to Kevin Doherty there during the week, the manager, and I was reminding him of that conversation that we had on here. And look, me and Kevin had a few conversations before the start of the season. That remains between me and him.
Right.
But I'll tell you what, it just shows the quality of the correspondence that you have on Highland Radio. We're able to select both cup finalists, not too far away in the league. Well, in fairness,
yeah.
But an easy one for Decky too. Like he went for the teams, both sides with the two biggest budgets in the league, so he was bound to get there with one of them. Like so.
He was amused.
You know.
Yeah, he was amused, and I was amused that you selected Drogheda. Look where we are now.
Absolutely. Look here, when you know, Oisin. Look, we'll just leave it there. We'll leave it there.
That's why you're in the big money, Keith. Is that right?
Oh, I don't know about that. I haven't seen too much of it.
Well, listen, no matter what the predictions was of you two guys at the start of the season, Drogheda find themselves in a cup final, which is huge for them. And I'm sure you've been talking to your former colleagues down there. You know a lot of people in Drogheda, haven't spent a bit of time with the club. This is massive for them, so it is, getting to a final.
That's absolutely brilliant for Drogheda to get there. You know, they've been to a few cup finals in the past. You know, they won one, and you know they were runners up three times. But I just suppose that the way the season has gone for them, you know, with a really sticky patch and kind of finding where they are in the table, you know, this is kind of a welcome distraction. And the manner that they got there, as well, obviously seeing off Wexford in the semi-final, you know, with a bit of a heroic effort from Adam Foley coming off the bench and getting two goals. But yeah, look, you know, the whole fanfare that surrounds it, you know, the media days, you know, and then obviously the fans preparing, and like those fans up there are absolutely fantastic. So they are Andrada. So, you know, them preparing now all week and for the last few weeks probably, you know, to make their way to the Aviva, it's absolutely huge for them. And I say, you know, a massive boost for the club.
Listen, let's call a spade. Derry, without doubt, had the tougher route to the final, and they will be seen as big favourites for this. The draw at time was kind to Drogheda. Can they cause an upset? And if they are going to cause an upset, in your view, how do they go about it, Keith?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, just going back to your first bit there, in fairness to Derry, yeah, they have had a really tough route. You know, like Pats, you know, Cork, Shells, and then Bowes, like to get to the final is really difficult. If you look back to 2022 when they last got there and they swept Shells fairly easy and the final game was over after an hour, you know, they had a home draw in every round up to that. So it's a different route for them this time. Going into the final, you look at the games that they've played each other throughout the season. You know, Derry have won two, a draw, and then Drogheda won the last encounter. So Drogheda will take confidence from the last game that they played. You know, we look at the quality on both sides. You look at, you know, what Derry have available, and maybe what they don't have available could maybe play a part as well. I think Drogheda have a full bill of health. They've added quality in the summer as well, which they needed to do. And, you know, they were able to, you know, unearth a few kind of maybe diamonds in the rough as well. The ex-Harps captain, Dave Webster, you know, joined Drogheda through at the start of the season, you know, with no real maybe intention of you getting a contract. He just basically came in for pre-season and he's end up, you know, playing his way in, biding his time. And, you know, he could be starting in a cup final on Sunday, which would be huge at 35 years of age. If you'd asked him, was that something that he was planning on? Maybe not. But yeah, looking at who's favourites, you'd have to say on paper what's there. Derry, with the quality that they have, you know, the experience of winning it 2 years ago. But then again, look, it's a one-off game. Anything can happen when you get to the Aviva. You know, the players that are there, will they be used to playing in front of 40,000 people? Or they're thereabouts most weeks? No, they won't. So that'll all come into it.
But Drogheda have nothing to lose in this game, Keith.
Absolutely not.
I think there's more pressure on Derry to win this game, given the way the season has gone and how it's been over the last couple of years. And Derry missing out in the league title this year. They have to win the cup. And there seems to be more pressure around the Candy Stripe environment than what there's going to be around Drogheda.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. You look at Drogheda, it's pretty much a free hit. Derry, you know, with the squad they amassed at the start of the season, you know, they went to go firing on all fronts. They were looking to, you know, League Cup and Europe, you know, with what they put together. They needed a goal scorer. They went and got a goal scorer. You know, they during the season, maybe things weren't working out for them. You know, they went and bought a couple of centre halves. They've invested big. You know, so it's huge pressure around them. And, you know, like, well, you have to see now with the investment they've made, if they come up with nothing, and considering where they finished in the league now, they have to win this to secure Europe for next season. So there's huge pressure there in Derry, and they'll be feeling that as well, no doubt.
Yeah, I'm sure they will, and I'm sure the management will be feeling as well. A lot of pressure on the management at the moment around Derry.
Yeah, like you don't like to, you know, obviously kind of heap pressure on top of a manager. It's a very difficult situation, and, you know, all in all, Ruud Higgins is an experienced, you know, footballer and has been around a lot of management teams, you know, with time at Dundalk and the Irish squad, and, you know, coming into his first kind of big job. He's still a young manager, so, you know, it is big pressure for him. But look, if you want to prevail, if you want to try and go through the rankings and build your career in that way, these are the games and these are the occasions that you have to, you know, come up trumps in and do well. And do we say that maybe his job is on the fact that if Derry don't win, that he could find himself out of a job? Quite possibly. Even if he wins it, does he stay on? Like, these are all factors and conversations that I'm sure I'll be having with the hierarchy there at Derry. So yeah, big pressure on him, but look, as far as an occasion to look forward to, it's absolutely huge.
Yeah, it certainly is massive. Right, give us your call. How's it going to go on Sunday in the cup? I'll make my prediction first. I think Derry's going to win the cup and they're going to win a 3-1. So there you go.
Derry?
Yeah.
Derry going to win 3-1. I think it could go the distance. I think it could be extra time. I'm going to stick with Drogheda. I'm going to stick with Drogheda just because of the way it's gone.
You're very hesitant. But
yeah, I am, because that comes with the quality that Derry have. You know, you look at the match, you know, the people in the squad, you know, the Mickey Duffys, you know, do we know if Pat Hoobin's 100% fit? He hasn't played since the semi-final. You know, you look at Mullen up top, McMullen in the midfield, talk about Will Patchen. Like, you know, you go through Diallo, you look at, you know, Patrick McElhinney, will he play? There's so much quality there and experience, and, you know, haven't done it before. That's going to stand them in great stead. So that's obviously why I'd be cautious. Look, I think it's one of them ones. Maybe my head says Derry, but my heart says Drogheda.
Okay, right. You stick with your heart there. Just one final question then before we let you go, Keith. Finn Harps had their season done and dusted a number of weeks ago. They didn't make the playoffs. How would you sum up 2024 for the Babafay side?
Look, I think it's definitely an improvement, you know, on the season before. It was kind of, you know, you didn't really know what was going to happen. Kind of faltered near the end. And, you know, just looking, if you just quickly look at where they finished in the league, they finished one spot below Bray, who now find themselves in a playoff final next week with Drogheda. You know, so they're going to have that on their mind as well. Sorry, just to go back to that and what Drogheda will be planning on this week. There will be, I suppose, a bit of disappointment from Harps fans because they didn't sort of kick on when they had some great form. But look, it's a rebuilding process last year. They've, you know, given themselves a good footing to go again. But there is that little bit of, you know, who's going to be there next year? You know, are the lads that were brought in from, you know, outside, are they going to be there? Is he going to go with local lads? You know, is Murph going to be there next year? There's a lot of that still up on the air and but unanswered questions. So I think, look, we just have to sort of wait and see what comes up. And, you know, November, December are sort of huge months in terms of the League of Ireland, in terms of, you know, getting players in and managers and everybody find their feet. So I think it's just a case of we'll have to wait and see on the Harris front, but it'll definitely be interesting in the next couple of weeks.
All right, Keith, many thanks for joining us this week on the programme, and indeed thanks for your contribution throughout the year as well, as we look forward to the Cup final. Enjoy the game on Sunday.
Cheers, Ashie. Up the Drogs.
Well, we firmly know what camp Keith is in heading into the Cup final. It is time for a break. We'll hear from the Derry camp after these. Hey, you're very welcome back to The Score. Now, Derry City will look to lift the FAI Cup for the second time in 3 seasons this Sunday when they take on Drogheda United in the big decider at the Aviva Stadium. The league ended on a disappointing note for the Candy Stripes, who faltered in the closing weeks and missed out on the Premier Division title. The group now have an opportunity to park the league with a cup success. Ahead of the big decider, Martin Holmes caught up with Derry players Patrick McElhinney and Mark Connolly.
Patrick, a difficult season for you and sort of for the club to come to a nice end on Sunday.
Aye, that's the aim. A long draining kind of season, and we just fell short, and we couldn't hit the goal button when they had it. And you don't win the league, you don't deserve to win it, and that's it. But we have something now at the end of it, which we're grateful for, and we can go and win a trophy.
You came back from a very bad arm injury, and a lot of people thought you were gone for the full season, but you did really well to get back.
It was a nasty one, still suffering from it, to be honest. I couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel with that one, to be honest, but I got back, and that just kind of was the snowball then after that, where you're chasing your tail, really, whenever I just really hit the ground running. And but it happens, it's football, and have a cup final now to look forward to.
During the season, like people like Dunnigan and Hoobin and yourself were missing big players for this team.
Aye, and when you're missing players through the spine of your team at times it can be difficult. There's no getting away whenever there's certain players out that you're gonna have bumps in the road, and you can't get that consistency, and you can't get the consistency or your performance as a team. So that's all behind us now. Look, it's happened. What's happened's happened, and we have 90 minutes now to win a trophy on Sunday.
It's your 9th final, 4 wins, yeah. 4 losses. Yeah. It'd be nice to get the 5th.
I try and put the positives, kind of spin on it. They won the 5th. But I have experienced a lot in the finals. Obviously, I've won four, lost four, lost in penalties, lost in extra time. I think I've been through most of it in the finals. So I hopefully can get that experience across to the boys and help us get over the line.
Mark, it's been a tough few days for the club, but you don't really have time to feel sorry for yourselves.
No.
Big game to come.
No, definitely not. I think it's been probably a tough few weeks since the St Pat's game, and then obviously it happened on Friday at the Brandywell. I think you had probably had a day or two to feel sorry for ourselves and be disappointed in what happened, and now it's just about moving on. We have a cup final to look forward to. Ourselves and Drogheda are the only two teams left in what is the biggest day of the year for League of Ireland football. And thankfully we've given ourselves the opportunity to go to the Aviva, get the whole city down there supporting us. So it's something that we're looking forward to.
You've been round a course before, you know what's required here?
Yeah, listen, it's all about focusing on yourself. Don't worry too much about what's going to be happening outside. It's just focusing on you turning up and doing your job and giving absolutely everything. We have plenty of quality and experience in the team. So this week is just purely dusting ourselves down with the league. That's done, that's in the past. We can't change any of that there. And now it's sort of looking forward to Sunday and being positive and being ready for what's to come on Sunday.
Jamie McGonigal scored a brilliant goal in the final in 2022. Settling air is great, I assume.
Yeah, no, listen, it was a great start, to be fair. Jamie done brilliant with the goal. I think that performance all round was pretty as perfect as you could have wished for. And again, it's very, very similar we're looking for on Sunday. It's not going to be an easy game. Drogheda have, especially since the summer, they've recruited well. They've changed their system. So they're a very, very difficult team to play against. But I think if we focus on ourselves and focus on our strengths, and the manager will have ways to hopefully break down Drogheda, then I really fancy us.
Some of the guys haven't played in a final like this before. It's a whole new adventure for them. You've retained quite a few experienced heads from the last time around, so that'll be a great help.
Yeah, no, listen, experience is a big thing. And like you said, there's some boys that haven't. But again, it's an opportunity for them. It's an opportunity then for to play in their first final, to play in a big stadium and a big crowd like this here. And you got to try and grab it with both hands. There's no fear in it. You just got to look for it and look for it as a positive. And like you said, we've got plenty of experience in there that if anyone needs any help or guidance, there's plenty of boys in that dressing room to do that.
Well, since it is Cup Final week and Derry are involved, here's something different on the score this evening. For 40 years, Derry City have produced a matchday programme called City View for every competitive home game. 10 years ago, new editor Andrew Cassidy came in and introduced the popular A to Z segment, which has become a prominent feature in any City View edition. Now, Andrew has published a new book called City View 30 Years, which has hit the shelves recently. He's been speaking with Oisin Kelly this week.
Yeah, welcome to the studios of Highland. First time here, I think. For people that don't know Andrew, he is the man behind City View, which is the programme at the Brandywell each and every Friday night. You've been doing it now for how many years?
10 years now I'm doing it.
Yeah.
So 10 years. Well, it's been going since 1985. I took over as editor 10 years ago.
Yeah. And the book is obviously called City View, 30 Years, and you've been talking to legends since, what, 1985?
So, yeah, since 1985. So from the 30 years that I wasn't doing the programme, kind of went back and got those players, because I interview first team players every week. So those 30 years that I missed out in getting first team players, I just went back and got them.
Okay, right. Before we talk more, it is obviously a big week for the club. It's very exciting around the Brandywell. Now, I know we had the disappointment in recent weeks of missing out in the league title because he's come so close, but there's a big opportunity here now to end the season on a massive high.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, the FA Cup or FAI Cup final is always massive every year. So hopefully we can replicate what we did 2 years ago and come back with a cup.
What about the opposition, Drogheda? You'll be seeing as favourites for this one. Like, there's no doubt about it.
Everybody if when you look back on it now, the season that we've had, I mean, leave the league alone, on the cup front, we haven't conceded any goals. Some of the teams that we've put away is amazing. So Shelburne and Bohemians and Cork City and teams like that, without conceding a goal is an amazing achievement. If we can manage to get a win on Sunday without conceding a goal, I think there's very, very few teams have ever done that.
Yeah. Big Derry support will be hitting the road at the weekend. There's a lot of them going up on Saturday.
There's a lot, yeah. Last I heard, there was 35,000 tickets sold, so there's probably going to be more than that come Sunday. So a lot of that's going to be from Derry, yeah. We have the bigger half of the stadium this year. The last time out, we had the shorter half, the Aviva. So hopefully, yeah, we'll get a few more numbers in.
Good stuff. Well, listen, if Derry are to win the Cup, it will be a great opportunity to try and boost the sales of the book. Why did you decide to undertake this, Andrew?
It was kind of a thing I had in the back of my head. It was a few years ago, actually, that I usually go into training every week and trying to get a first-team player for that Friday's programme. But for some reason, I think I arrived late for training and the players had gone and I was kind of stuck for a player interview. And Liam Coyle happened to be walking around in the office at the time. I seen him just leave. And I thought, geez, it would have been good to get Liam, just a chat to him and ask him similar questions. And it was always in the back of my mind since then of what these players would have answered to those. I would have had to change a few questions, obviously, because a lot of it was about the first team. So I have done, I changed some of the questions to make them a bit more relevant to past players. And I had some really hilarious outcomes with chatting to them, yeah.
So obviously Liam Coyle is just one. Who else have you interviewed on there? Obviously there's a lot of Derry greats, so there is.
Yeah, so I mean, one of the biggest club legends that journalists all over Derry are envious of me for getting is Owen De Gama, who was at the club in the 80s and 90s. But yeah, there's a lot of, so you have the likes of Peter Hutton in there, you have Felix Healy, Gavin Dykes, Gary Beckett, there's loads and loads. There's over 30 of them in there, so there's a lot of players.
And obviously it opens it up to the sort of more recent Derry City supporter who wouldn't have the knowledge of what it was 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah, it's a kind of it's a good mixture there. So there's some of the guys, when you're asking about their former teammates, like people would know their former teammates, and just their experiences of playing at Derry City as well. Even players that weren't even here that long have great memories of the club and the city and the fans and everything. It's great to read and it's great to chat to them about how much they still remember about the club. A lot of the guys were saying that their child's first jersey was a Derry City jersey and things like that. Years after they left the club, they just left a fan, you know. So, no, it's great to hear that sort of thing from the guys.
Yep. And how long did it take you to put the whole thing together?
First interview was done, well, the very first interview was done last November, so just under a year, but it wasn't constant work because there was a bit of a gap there over Christmas. I think the second interview was done in January, that sort of way. So, but yeah, come the middle of the summer, that kind of thing, I stepped up and started getting one or two a week and putting together then as well.
Yeah, a lot of work involved in it. So listen, well done. It's a fantastic read if anybody wants to get their hands on it. And what's the best way to do that?
Well, you can buy it online at derrycityfc.net/cityview. There's also a list of people there that sell it. So likes of the bookmark there and Letterkenny Shopping Centre. The Universal Books in Church Lane has some. And then in Derry as well, there's a load of them there. There's... So Fairy Clever, Foil Books in the Craft Valleys in Derry, Little Acorns, Claude's Cafe in Shipkey Street, Waterstones and Foilside are selling them as well. Yeah. There's quite a few places, yeah.
Yeah, and it's not that expensive. It's only
£12.99. Only £12.99, yeah.
It's not that. Well, listen, as we said, it's a fantastic read, and I'm sure now if Derry won the Cup at the weekend, it'll help boost the sales.
I hope so.
You're heading into the Christmas market as well. So, yeah. So all the details available on DerryCityFC.net. Finally, are you confident on Sunday in the Cup final?
I'm always confident. Always confident. People always ask me that, but I'm always confident.
All right, good man. Listen, thanks for coming in, Andrew. The best luck on Sunday in the match, and the best of luck with the book as well.
Cheers.
Yeah, that is Andrew Cassidy in conversation with Oisin Kelly. And by the way, we will have updates from the Aviva Stadium this Sunday from Derry against Drogheda in the Cup Final with Desmond Motors Transit Centre. Now, we'll take a short break. We'll be back with local soccer here in Donegal after these. Welcome back to the programme. Well, in soccer in Inishowen this weekend, there's a big, big game in the Inishgrass Shield with the top two sides from the Inishowen Engineering Division 2 facing each other. Sea Rovers, the league leaders, they'll be meeting second-placed Carromina in Gartnamullen on Sunday at 11 a.m. Chris Ashmore has been speaking with the respective managers, Glenn Watson of Sea Rovers and Kevin McLaughlin of Carromina. First up, let's hear from Glenn Watson, the Sea Rovers boss. They have a 100% league record so far after 9 games and have scored an average of 6 goals a game. It's little wonder then that he is really looking forward to this cup tie, which he expects will be closely fought.
Yes, Chris, it should be. It's always a close encounter when we're playing Carmina. Over the last few years, there's never been too much between the two teams. So I don't expect this weekend to be any different.
Yeah, so you know each other pretty well. Now, just looking at the stats for this season, you're going into this game on the back of 9 straight wins in the league. So it's been a really positive start for you.
Yeah, it's all going well. We've added a few players to the team that obviously run short last year. The playoff defeat, the Glenelly. But this year we hope they sort of go one step further in the league and hopefully get promotion. But it's all going well at the moment. Like, the goals are flowing, and we're obviously keeping the goals out at the other end as well. So it's, everything's going well.
Yeah, 57 goals scored, 3 against. So what, you're averaging sort of 6 a game.
Six a game at the moment, yeah.
Must be unprecedented. I take it there's quite a few players getting on the score sheet.
Oh, it's been shared about at the moment. Though, obviously, with Andrew Geller, he's already on double figures. And then summer signing Matthew Mooney from Glengad. He's up in, I think it's 11 or 12. And then it's been shared out among the teams. So there's goals throughout the team, especially midfield. And there's obviously a few boys at the back tipping them with all goals as well. There's a long way to go, Chris. And I was looking at the league table, and like any one of 6-7 teams can still win this league. But speaking from experience last year, where we came in our run up towards the end of the season, so nothing's given at this stage.
The league and getting promotion, that is priority. But that's not to say that you wouldn't mind adding a bit of silverware in a cup competition.
In my time at Sea Rovers, there's only ever been one trophy, and it's obviously the 10-year anniversary now of the League One. So any bit of silverware would be fantastic for the club, for the effort that's been put in over the last few years. We just want to sort of reward the committee and the club for its efforts. And obviously we're now pulling a great fan base, so we'd love a run on the Shield. But I wouldn't just say that they're the winners this week, favourites, because there's a lot of teams might have a say in that, isn't there? Kilmanies, your 2 Cock Hulls, your LA Celtics, and there's many more.
Now, you've been involved in the club for over a decade as a player, helping out in recent years as well as manager, so you know what goes on behind the scenes. And just bringing into the conversation as well, your own pitch there, the most northerly pitch in the country, and you've done quite a lot of work over the last few years as well.
Pitch was taken on, I think it was in the 90s, it was a field committee, and they have obviously had a lot of debt at that time and done a lot of fundraising, but they finally got it all paid off, and they're able to sign the pitch over to Sea Rovers now. I think it was last year. So that means now we can apply for better funding and stuff now that the pitch is in our name. I think 4 years ago we got a new bridge put across the pitch, which now has got access for hopefully it's never needed, but any emergency services. But it also gets access to people that's disabled, and it just in general it's far safer for the children as well to come across and be able to play their football in Gordon and Mullen.
Because prior to that it was a case of getting access to the pitch over a fairly narrow, rickety sort of bridge.
Yes, it was, yeah. It wasn't the most pleasures. I walks on a Sunday morning, like, but thankfully now, thanks to a monthly draw and one of our guys Stephen Farn, getting in touch with Paddy Power. They were doing grants out at the time for funding for clubs in Ireland, and thankfully they were able to give us £10,000 towards that bridge as well, so it was a great help.
So back to this weekend's game against Carmina. Given the way the two teams have started the season, we should be expecting goals.
Yeah, hopefully. I hope it's entertaining for both sets of fans. And because at the end of the day, when you're up against Carmina, you've got the Christy Higgerty and you've got Ronan Doherty up front, so you know you're in a game. The two boys up top are pretty useful, so we'll not be going into the game thinking it's going to be a walk in the park. We'll be getting on with the same attitude as we do every other game, on the front foot and trying to take a game to them.
And finally, it's an 11 o'clock start and extra time and penalties if required. Has there been much in the way of penalty practicing during training?
No penalty practicing, no. Obviously, unfortunately, we're now in Glengarry Astro, so the nets are pretty small, but hopefully we'll not need that. Well, hopefully the game's done within the 90 minutes and the results in our favour, hopefully.
Yeah, that was Glenn Watson, the manager of Sea Rovers. Well, Kevin McLaughlin, a former manager of the Derry City FC ladies team and part of the setup with the great Greencastle team a few years ago, he's clearly enjoying his time with Carol Mina. Chris Ashmore put it to him that the game against Sea Rovers has all the ingredients for a really good contest.
I think so, and obviously it's kind of a first opportunity to kind of get a look at one another as well for the league games, the up-and-coming league games down the line. So that who comes out of this may go on to be favourites for the actual competition. It's going to be a big game on Sunday, one that we're looking forward to.
They're unbeaten. They're looking for 10 out of 10. It's going to be quite a match.
Yeah, it will be. We're looking forward to the challenge, to be honest. We've had a couple of disappointing results, right, over the last couple of weeks, but we certainly had a bounce back performance there on Sunday and made a bit of a statement playing against one of the top sides in Clonmany in the league as well. But yeah, we're looking forward to getting a look at Sea Rovers and going out there and challenging ourselves on Sunday. Sea Rovers seem to be firing all cylinders, certainly when it comes to that end of the pitch. But on the other side of it, I feel like we're a good side with regards to our defensive side and the way we set up, and we feel like we'll offer Sea Rovers a few more questions to answer than most. So we're confident going in. We don't fear anybody. We're going with the utmost respect for Sea Rovers. I mean, what they're doing is fantastic, and not only at that level, but also at underage level. Just watching what they're doing from a progression point of view, they're offering a great product out there, and clearly that's going through the whole club, and hopefully that continues for them as well, because it's great to see.
Yeah, your own club, you've had a couple of ups and downs over the years. At the start of this season, what were the ambitions? Did you think you'd be going for a possible title and promotion from the word go?
Well, I wouldn't say that. I certainly didn't set any goals whatsoever. I came in last season. I'm sure it's no harm to say that they were struggling a little bit. And last season we laid a wee bit of a foundation, and a lot of the lads from last season are back in again, and you know, we've put together a wee product ourselves that the players seem to be interested in coming to kind of play in Carmina too, because they can see a bit of a potential there. So we're still building upon upon the foundations that we laid last year, and as long as we can stay consistent and cut out maybe those two defeats we've had there over the last 3 weeks, then yeah, we're going to be fine, and we'll certainly be asking the questions and pushing for promotion. So yeah, we'll see in a few weeks' time, and it's still early days yet in the league. So
yeah, we're not even anywhere near halfway yet, and it's a big division. There's a lot of teams. There can be plenty of twists and turns, and looking at the league table, even as it is, Illy's reserves, they're just behind you. They've only played 8 games, won 7, drawn 1. They're undefeated, so they're still very much in the mix. Perhaps too early to say it's a 3-horse race. Somebody could come from the pack.
Yeah, and no, I think so. I think Carcull reserves are starting to kind of push there now as well. It's been strange because a lot of the top teams haven't played against one another yet. So I do see a few of the teams pushing up from the middle of the pack as well. It'll tell a different story whenever we see the teams at the top of the table kind of playing against each other, you know.
Yeah, and tell us a little bit about your squad. Is it pretty locally based?
Yeah, I mean, obviously our catchment area in Carmina, we're kind of working from, I think it's fair to say, the scraps maybe from the bigger clubs in Laval, Celtic and my old club, Greencastle FC. But once again, I think this season people have kind of seen obviously the Carmina's facilities are unbelievable. I mean, the pitch in itself on Tremont Bay there is just an amazing sight. The facilities, the change rooms, everything's great. So, yeah. And I think we're putting together a nice wee product here now on the pitch too.
And there's always been a good interest in the game in the area. I think the club is around 30 years old now. And I was down when there was the official pitch opening with Finn Harps down there with an Inishow and Select many years ago. what a location, and great credit to everybody for all the work since then.
Unbelievable. I mean, they're so appreciative too down there. Like, you can do no wrong. Like, they're so helpful. Even whenever I came on last year, I mean, I'd quit coaching altogether. And between work, life, and play, balance was getting difficult, and some had to give. And I kind of stopped coaching altogether. And Jared and Sean from the committee kind of knocked on my door and says, "Listen, Kim, would you be interested?" And he said they would take a lot of the priorities and they'd take a lot of the workload off me. And he basically said, you go into the easy part, and that's the coaching part. And in fairness, that's what he'd done. And they've given me a new find, desire to be involved. And like it is a credit to the people of Caramia. They're just amazing. It's a great place to be.
Elsewhere in the Inishowen Football League on Sunday, there's action in the Jackie Crossan Premier Division. It is second against third as Cairn travel to face Cockhill Celtic, and first place Buncrana Hearts host Redcastle United. There's a full round of games in the HML Plantyre Division 1. First placed QPS travel to take on Alia Reserves, and it is second against third as Cockhill Youths host Dunree United. Now moving on to the Donegal Junior League, and on Sunday there's a full round of fixtures in the Brian McCormick Sports Premier Division. It is the big one, top of the table, Bunnygee United take on second placed Kilmacrenan Celtic. That one is at the Letterkenny Community Centre, and we'll have updates from Chris Ashmore from 2 o'clock on that one. The two joint third clubs are also in action. Kildrum Tigers are away to get over Celtic, and Letterkenny Rovers travel to Killybegs to play St Catharines. In the Temple Domestic Appliances Division 1, among the fixtures, it is top of the table Castlefin Celtic hosting Gidoria United. And in the Donegal Physiotherapy and Performance Centre Division 2, it's first against third, Kerry Keel take on Drumahl. In the Saturday leagues, there's also a full round of action, and among the games in the Glencairn Saturday Division 1, first place Kildrum Tigers, they host Aranmore United. In the Old Orchard Saturday Division 2, the top two are both away from home this weekend. Kilmacrenan and Celtic travel to play Glenay United Reserves, and Erin Wanderers make the trip to Letterkenny to take on Letterkenny Rovers. And in the Finn Travel Saturday Division 3, the two joint first place teams are both in action. They're both at home. Fannin United host Lagan Harps, and Drumkeen United host the challenge of Kopany Rovers. Now moving on to women's football, and Finn Harps under 19 women are getting ready for their League of Ireland Tier 2 semi-final on Sunday against Galway United. I caught up with Harps manager Paddy McDade a little bit earlier. So, Paddy, you're just coming off the back of a big win against Treaty United there in the Under-19 League of Ireland Tier 2 quarter-final of the weekend. You must be delighted to reach the semi-final.
Oh, absolutely delighted for the girls. The players have been amazing this season. As you know, it's in our second year in the league, and the girls have been fantastic. We've had the first phase league, which was a lot of tough fixtures, and the girls have been brilliant all year. With the cup fixtures in, which was a lot of top teams as well, like the Shamrock Rovers, Shells, Bow. So it's been a learning curve for the girls, but they played some good football along the way. The second phase, we're at now in the semi-final now. The girls played 10 matches, so we won our first two games away to Piemont and home to our Waves, and I think then some teams realised that the girls were strong, so they're allowed to play their senior players, Some used that rule, some didn't, but the girls played a lot of really close games. Unlucky maybe to lose one or two of them, but we actually lost 5 games in a row, believe it or not. So the girls actually knew that it was kind of a last chance saloon playing Galway at home, and we beat Galway at home, who were top of the table. Then we went to Sligo and beat them 2-1 in an excellent performance. And then we had Dundalk at Fan Park a few weeks ago there, And the girls won that as well. So that meant then we qualified for the quarter final and got a nice handy trip to Limerick. And so now we're back there in Galway this week. So, you know, it hasn't been easy for these girls with travel and stuff, but it's been absolutely brilliant, Mark.
Yeah, just going back to your quarter final of the weekend there, I'd say as a coach, there's that something extra satisfying about winning 1-0 away from home against a good side. To get a clean sheet in these kind of big games is so important. And I suppose that shows a bit of grit and determination to dig in and get the right result.
That's it in a nutshell, Mark. I think it was kind of the whole season coming together in one game. Everything we've taught the girls, everything they've taken on board. Myself and my assistant, Desi McGlinchey, we've told the girls the last number of weeks we've given them a lot more responsibility. We basically told them, listen, we've taught you how to play certain systems, how to play certain styles. It's up to you to manage the game, go out and get results. And you know what? They've reacted to that really, really well. And it's credit to them for getting us this far now. And, you know, we said if we got to the quarterfinals, it would be a bonus. And that proved so. Now, all of a sudden, we're in the semifinals. That's also a big bonus for the girls. But you never know when you get to the semifinal stage.
That's it. And a win like that at the weekend could really galvanise the team and give them real belief heading into this weekend.
Yeah, for sure. It's a long journey down to Limerick, and you know the girls have to go then. They've been putting in super performances, especially in the last couple of months. You know, a couple of results didn't go away, but then results started to come. So that is natural that you will start to get your results. And listen, make no bones about it. Galway won this last year. They finished top of our section. But you know what? We got beat 2-0 down in Galway, and we beat them at home 2-0. And the venue has changed this time too. I think it'll be a better pitch. So I have no problem going down to Galway and getting beat if we're outplayed by a better team. There's no problem. I think the girls are okay with that as well. But the one thing for sure, these girls certainly won't lie down. They'll certainly give it their all. And they're quite excited about it too, because this is bonus territory for the girls. They've got this far now. I know they're determined to try and get to the final as well. But what will be, will be.
That's it. But sure, it'll be a great experience for the girls to head into a semi-final with the possibility of reaching a national final. I mean, that's really what it's all about, getting to experience these big occasions.
Well, it's a couple of things there. You know, it's extending our season. The girls have been brilliant. We started in January and we're still going into the middle of November, which is really, the girls had gaps during the summertime with no games before, and I think there's another 6-week gap, but they've been training 2 nights a week, the majority. It's been absolutely fantastic. For under 19 girls who have so much going on in their lives, where it be college, even start working part-time. But you know what? The girls deserve all this for their dedication all year. And personally, I'm not surprised that they've reacted like this and they've got this far. But again, like I said, it's all credit to them, you know. So, they've been brilliant. We have four under-17s who have come from Patrick McGannon's team. Orla was there from last year. Orla Doherty, who's been in great form up front scoring goals. You've Heidi has come in, and Marianne Ward, they've been brilliant this year. Neve Ryan came in the summertime from the 17s. So, they've been brilliant. You know, we moved them up, and there's also with two experienced players too. We're allowed four overage players, but we only have two actually. So Cody Walsh and Ashton Call have been those overage players. They've been brilliant, you know, and I could go through the whole team, to be honest. they've been absolutely fantastic. So they have.
Yeah, well, we wish you all the best on Sunday. And just I want to touch on, there seems to be a real pathway there for young girls coming through in Donegal, isn't there, at the minute? I mean, you have the likes of Amber Barrett and Tyler Tolan. They're heavily involved in the Irish senior setup at the moment. It's great for your under-19 side to have those kind of figures to look up to.
100%. These girls were young girls at one stage and looking up, as you said, to Amber and to likes of Kira Grant and Tyler Tolan, the players like us here. You know, whether it be Donegal Women's League, NHL Women's League, you know, there's a pathway there now for them. They play for their clubs, they play inter-county games, play Gaynor Cup, and then we started under-17s and then under-19s. So, you know, there's a pathway for them there, which is brilliant. And, you know, a lot of trials with Ulster schools, with Unhurst assessments, and I keep reminding the girls, you know, if they want it enough, sometimes some aren't ready, maybe physically, maybe mentally, maybe socially, you know, but if they keep going, then they can reach their potential, you know. And I found that with some girls at younger age, maybe didn't make a coach Ulster schools girls as well, and they might not have made that team, but all of a sudden in the year after, they're into the Van Herps under-17s, and that's their time to flourish and to move on with their football career, you know. So I suppose that's the message for all girls out there is, you know, find your level, play football, find your level, and some can push you on to the higher level.
That's it. Well, thanks very much for joining us here on The Score, Paddy, and the very best of luck on Sunday. We'll be keeping a close eye on it here on Highland.
Thanks, Mark. Really appreciate that there. Thanks for all your support.
That is Finn Harps under-19 women's manager, Paddy McDade. Now, we're going to turn our attention to Gaelic Games action this weekend, and there's action in the Ulster Club Championships. On Saturday evening at Park Esler, Carol Lacey's Kilcoo, they will take on Crossarlock of County Cavan in the Ulster GAA Football Senior Club Championship quarter-final. A little bit earlier on Saturday, Derry Loughan, who beat Termon in the Intermediate Club Championship, they take on All Saints of Antrim in their quarter-final. And on Sunday, there's action in the Ulster Senior Club Championship. Declan Boner's Erin Gales, the Fermanagh champions, they are at Brewster Park in Enniskillen to take on Scotstown of Monaghan in their quarter-final. That one is at 2:15, and at 3:30 at Celtic Park in Derry, the Derry champions Newbridge take on Clan Aaron of Armagh. In the Intermediate Club Championship on Sunday at 1:15 at Celtic Park in Derry, Ballinderry, the Derry champions, take on Carrick Cruppen of Armagh. And just to finish with rugby, our feature game of the weekend is in the Ulster Championship 3. On Saturday, it'll be Inishowen taking on Virginia, and Alex McDonald will be providing live updates here on Highland from that one. In the other leagues, in the All-Ireland League Division 2C, Omagh travel to play Enniscorthy. In the Ulster Championship 1, City of Derry host Dromore. In Championship 2, Letterkenny make the trip to play Ards, and Limavady host Carrickfergus. In Ulster Championship 3, Donaghadee host Strabán, and in the Provincial North section, Donegal Town host the Challenge of Limavady. Well, that's it for another episode of The Score. I've been your host, Mark Gallagher. If you missed any of the show, it will be available shortly over on highlandradio.com. Have a great weekend.